You're right, but I'm right there. Like, I'm the first generation. Like, 1997 is like the cutoff from Gen Z to millennial. So, like, I relate with you guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty much on that side, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You're both, man.
I'm both. I don't care. I'm both. I'm both, man.
You're on the cusp. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, cheers, man. Cheers, John.
Yes.
Cheers to John, man.
You're not going to hurt my feelings. Tell me what you think.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to rip it apart, bro.
Just if you do sing it.
Okay? Yeah, sing your criticism.
It will sound sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to Growth Untold, the podcast, where we dive into thoughtful conversations and insightful discussions with world-class people, all with the aim of inspiring, educating, and empowering our listeners.
We are thrilled to have you here with us on this exciting journey to explore the diverse stories and the ideas that have the power to shape the world for the better.
Welcome to Growth Untold, the podcast.
Trust, we had no chemistry. Today we are joined by a singer and songwriter from Toronto, known for his unique blends of R&B and soul. He embarked on his path through motivation by his brother building a home studio at the age of 15 and releasing his first single, Nostalgia, which caught the attention of OVO Radio and garnered support from global artist Shawn Mendes. Since then, John's music has received praise and support from numerous industry giants like Billboard, MTV, BBC, and earning a Juno Award nomination for his debut album Lost in You and accumulating millions of streams on Spotify. And with the full-length project on the horizon, John's ability to connect with listeners through his emotive songwriting promises an even greater impact on the music scene. Join us as we explore the journey of music with Toronto artist John Vinyl.
Welcome, show, John. Man. Pickering Mans.
Yes, Pickering sir. Mans. Yes, sir. Pickering in the building.
In the house.
Man, how you doing?
Good, man. Good. I'm just happy to be here. Happy to be here with you guys. This is dope.
Thanks, man. You just finished tour? You just got off your first headliner tour?
Yeah, yeah. Just finished tour. Oh, my gosh. It was probably the time of my life, to be honest. Like, coming home sucks now. Like, I'm not home and I'm pissed.
Oh,
like,
I'm mad.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was just, every day was just, like, adrenaline and, like, tiredness. And then you have to, like, go to the show, do your sound check, and then you actually end up performing, and everybody's energy is just so different every night, and it was just like you kind of got addicted to the feeling of all that.
How many cities, how many shows?
I did like 13 total.
13 cities and one show
and
city.
Shows, I guess. Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's crazy, man.
But
what was your favorite?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the whole tour, this was the thing. We were ranking the whole time. So don't be offended at anybody. But so number one for us right now, I would say, like, me, the crew, everybody would say probably Toronto, which is crazy. You'd be surprised. We didn't think it would be Toronto because we felt like everybody else would, like, let loose in America, like, way more. Like, they would relax, like, have a good time. But, Toronto was number one.
We're so hyped about all the incredible, you know, homegrown talent, you know?
Yeah.
And the music scene, like, you know... I work in Hollywood, but in Hollywood, we've got some great Canadian artists. But the music scene, like, man, there's just some legends over last couple of years.
What about Toronto, man?
It was just like, first of all, you got to see the buildup of when you're about to go on stage, like from being on side stage and you have your in-ears in, and mine are like custom. So you put them in, you can't hear anything. Like, anybody's talking to you, nothing. All you can hear is the music that's in your ear. And you know you're about to go do something. And your whole, like, we had like four dancers. So they're all looking, we're all looking at each other. Yeah. They're like stretching. Some of them are praying. Like, it's like a real moment. Yeah. Some of them are knocking on the floor, like on the wood and stuff. Just like doing their rituals, right? And I'm like, oh shit, it's about to go down.
What venue was it in?
This is Opera House.
Okay.
So we're just locked the fuck in, bro. We were locked, bro. Yeah. And we all just looked at each other, and the sound comes in our ear. Dun, 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 dun. It's like one of my songs, Let This Go. And we just run out, and the energy, like, I could hear it immediately. It was just, like, just screaming. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a good show. And, like, on video, bro, I literally looked to one of my dancers, and I was like, uh-oh, like, it's about to go down, like, on the first song, so... It's just crazy energy from the start to the end.
Amazing. All right, so Toronto was number one. What was, like, give me your
number
top
two,
three.
Number two, for me, number two would be New York. They would say, like, San Francisco, but for me, number two was New York, just because, like, I was on stage. Every song I was singing, they were just screaming it back to me. Like, some of the bigger songs, they were just yelling it, like... New York was number two for me personally. Everybody else would say San Francisco, though.
Okay.
And San Francisco was crazy, too. Like,
that's good to hear that energy. San Francisco's still alive and well, because you just hear horror stories about that place now.
Yeah,
about how
man.
It's just like an apocalyptic town.
Yeah. It's alive and well because John Vinyl was
there. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Haven't you heard?
And that show was actually sold out, so that was big, too. But, yeah, that was crazy.
And number three?
So, yeah, New York, so Toronto, New York, San Francisco.
Okay, so San Francisco's like number 2/3 for you and the crew. Okay, that makes sense. That's nice.
Yeah,
East Coast, West Coast, tings and...
Yeah, tings.
Yeah, that's great, man. So tell us about you. Like, we always like to talk about the very beginnings with our guests. So tell us about, like, John the Kid. Obviously, your brother's in this industry with you. Like, tell me about how you grew up.
So, originally, we grew up in Toronto. We were Jarvis and Dundas area.
Wow.
If you know that area, we could get into it a little bit.
Yeah,
but it was...
I went to Ryerson. So
yeah, okay. So,
right
we're right beside each other. I actually went to Ryerson when I was younger for, like, a Vince Carter, like, basketball camp.
Okay.
It was crazy. But anyway,
that's
it's
right
a whole
there,
different
right
story.
There,
yeah. But if you know that area, I mean, it's not like the greatest, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things surrounding it that make it kind of tough. And then behind, we had, like, Fillmore's. And then, like, on the corner, we had, like, Hooker's Harvey's. And then we had the Rabbo right here.
Yeah, that's right beside.
Yeah. And then there was, like a halfway house, like, deeper. And then we went to school, like, a public school in Regent Park. Okay. So, like... We had a little bit, we had some moments. My mom decided to get us out of there because it got a little rough. So then we moved to Pickering, which was
the polar opposite.
Yeah, like, bro.
That's the whitest part of greater Toronto area you could go to.
When we moved there, we were like, nah, take us back. Like, this is ridiculous. From the food, like, everything's a culture shock to you, you know? Like. Yeah. I mean, we're in Toronto, like, the most diversity in the world, I'm pretty sure. And it's like, we went to Pickering after, and it's just like, it wasn't the same. So, I got pretty accustomed to it, to be honest. And I've always been, like, super, like, athletic. So I got into things that I probably would have never got into, like snowboarding and skateboarding and, like,
I was just,
ice
dude,
hockey.
I was just,
and, like,
gonna ask you. I was like, did you start skateboarding?
Yeah, bro. I was nice too.
Skateboarding.
Yeah, that's so. But you catch me at the skate park. Yeah, I just lived that kind of life, which I never thought I would be doing that because it was more just like soccer and basketball and track when I lived in.
Yeah,
but I did all those things except I added on to it snowboarding and all that stuff.
And so it was you, your brother, and your
me
mom.
And my brother and my mom. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
all right. So single and mom.
Single mom, yeah. So, you know, more struggles in that sense. And yeah, we kind of just lived in Pickering. We went to school there, we grew up there, and it was honestly really dope. Like, I enjoyed it a lot. It had its hard times because, you know, single mom, it was really tough. You know, we had some, like, times where, you know, we had to, like, I don't know if she'll get mad at me, but we had to, like, heat up some, like, water on the stove to, like, shower, you know? So, like, we had some, like, tough times, but we got through it, man, and now we're here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Good for you. So how did music play into all this?
Yeah, like, so pretty much when I was in high school, a lot of people around me did music. But I didn't really take it that seriously. And then one time I was in my house and I was just, like, randomly, like, singing some, like, random, like, Chris Brown, like, Yo, if you know that song. And
of course,
my brother was just like, bro, that doesn't sound that bad, bro. Like, that's not that bad. So,
how old were you? Like,
bro, I was probably like grade 8, maybe.
Okay. Okay.
Like grade 8.
Right before high school.
About to go to grade 9. Yeah. Like,
still a youth.
Yeah, how are you, bro? So, yeah, I ended up just, like, trying to practice how to sing, bro. And I kept on doing it. And then next thing you know, it was like the natural step was to, you know, start trying to like record music, write music, like get into that whole space. And so we did. And in high school, I think from like grade 9 to grade 12, I literally was just like making music. Like that's all I did. And so for that time, I was literally just in my basement making music with my friend. His name was Tyler McGee. We were just like literally just chilling in the basement. And then my brother would come down and he was working a lot as well as a chef. And he ended up like just buying equipment for us and stuff. And so we just kept on making music, never stopped. And then all of that time in high school gave us enough confidence to officially release our first song. And we put out our first song, which was Nostalgia. And it just did really well.
And when was this?
This is 2017.
All right.
Yeah. And so Nostalgia came out. At the time, I started to meet a lot of people in like OVO and just like people in the music industry. And then, of course, I went to school with Shawn Mendes as well. So like I just knew him already. And then at the time, like Ram Riddles was like really big as well. And he was just doing his thing and going crazy. So shout out to him because that was a really big moment in my journey of music because I was paying attention to all these different people. And it's like without them, you're not realizing how real it could actually be. And yeah, guys like Ram Riddles was just like going crazy, just like getting so many streams, just like people knew who he was, selling out shows and stuff.
Yeah, so it really helped having people around you that had already made it because you're
absolutely
like, I can make it. And
exactly.
It instills kind of like a belief in yourself, like, well, if they can make it, I can make it. Like,
exactly.
I can make something out of this.
That's literally it. So just kept on making music, and then I just, at that point, just kept on putting out songs, like, and tried to be, like, fairly consistent. And now we're here, I guess.
So you built your way up because you were saying that, before this headlining tour, you had gone on the road a couple of times before.
Yeah, for sure. Which is so great that I did that before because the amount of character building you have to learn when you're on the road and doing shows, and you're not really sure about it yet. Like me now, if you come see it like a John Vinyl show now compared to like when I was even doing my own tour like last year, or even the tour I went on with Tone Stith, the Set the Tone tour, it was like night and day difference. Like, one, I'm dancing. Like, suddenly I'm dancing now. I don't even know how to fucking dance, bro.
I'm sure you do, man.
Suddenly I'm dancing, and before I was just like on a stage just singing a song. So I'm happy I got to do that because it built confidence, and it's like I had to go to these cities, and I've never been there before, and I was a one-man show. And I had to entertain a crowd. And some nights it wasn't good, bro. And some nights it was really good. So it was interesting. But luckily I always had fans in the crowd no matter where I went. Like, it was crazy. So
you seem like you study like artists that have come before you and stuff. Do you think like the advent of Spotify and Apple Music, and I don't want to say how easy it is to produce music now, but like easier than it was back in the 70s, the 80s, even
way
the 90s.
Easier.
Do you think that has changed the game of like new artists like yourself being able to come out and put out music and stuff?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think what it does do though is like oversaturates everything. Like the amount of people and like the amount of music that comes out like in a day is insane.
Yeah.
So it's like the competition just gets even crazier every single day, like every day. So yeah, it changed a lot, but it helped people like me, you know, but it's also going to make it harder for the next person who wants to do the same thing. It's like, you know, I bet you everybody in this room could say someone who does music right now.
Yeah, well, listen, I was even telling Alex, acting's the same way. I mean, like you said, like, there's just way more competition now. It's way more saturated. Why? Because Netflix and Amazon and all these streamers have created so much content.
Tubi.
Whatever it is. Yeah. There's so much content now that there's so many more actors, that it's so much more saturated, that it's harder to stick out. So, yes, it's easier to create your own content, but it's harder to stick out as well.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, inspiration, because you cut through the clutter, man. Like you said, there's, like, millions of artists these days who are trying to be that next big thing. Man, you drive anywhere in TO, you're going to see somebody doing a music video, hands down, man. For right? Real. So, man, like, who do you draw inspiration from? Who are you trying to emulate? Or who, obviously, you're trying to be the next John Vinyl. You ain't trying to be like anybody else. But do you draw from a particular artist
that
inspires you?
I think... I feel like it's the usual suspects, like the people that everybody, you know, grew up listening to. Like for me, it was a lot of like Frank Ocean. Like at that time, it's just I remember the feeling that he gave to everybody when he had his songs and like was more prominent and like really here. Yeah, he's kind of like just a floating. You never know when he's going to show up and pop in, you know, but at that time when he was like releasing music, it was insane. Like it was. Yeah, I
can
just
definitely
remember
see
the
that,
time.
Though, knowing your style of music, you can definitely see Frank Ocean, yeah.
So, yeah, Frank Ocean was really dope. I always say Miguel because, I don't know, like, people probably forget, but Miguel just had this run. Like, he has a Grammy, too, and it's like he had this run that was just insane. And he had these really dope songs with J. Cole where he was, like, J. Cole was, like, a feature. And... he couldn't do any wrong in my eyes. And he had, like, this album called Kaleidoscope Dream. And that was, like, my high school, like, I was listening to that every single day, you know? Just trying to get girls and stuff.
Yeah,
I was going crazy. So, yeah. And All I Want Is You was the second song in my set on tour. So,
yes,
I was singing that live every single day as well. So, that's another, you know, I really felt
but
like
I mean that's kind of Usual Suspects, but not really. I thought you were gonna say like Drake and like
Usher.
You know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's Drake too. Drake's got some stuff going on right now that is crazy.
Does
man.
He?
I mean, just like the beef that's going on.
Yeah,
have you
course.
Been paying attention
no,
to
man.
That?
Okay. I'm an immigrant Egyptian kid. So
okay.
So sometimes this shit just goes beyond me. What's going on with Drake?
Kendrick Lamar, Drake.
Because pretty much what happened was Drake. Kendrick Lamar came out with a song and he had like Future and Metro Boomin on it, like all these like different people on it, whatever. And he kind of just dissed like Drake and J. Cole.
Okay.
And there was like a song where he said like the big three. And long story short, pretty much it was like Kendrick Lamar kind of had like a jab, like he kind of poked at like Drake and J. Cole. And so Drake responded now.
With
and
a song? Or
he actually just dropped the song, like, on Spotify, like, streaming. But before it got leaked, I'm pretty sure. And, yeah, it's, like, popping right now. Like, people are like, all right, yo, like, is Kendrick gonna reply? Like, what's going on? Like,
I feel like that always kind of happens in the music game, right?
It's been a while since, like, the biggest people in the game have, you know, gone at it, which is, I mean, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and J. Cole are arguably, the ones, right?
Yeah.
So to hear them all go at each other. And then J. Cole dropped a diss track and apologized. I don't know why.
I can't even imagine Kendrick Lamar going after anybody because he's just like, he seems very chill. I don't know him, but he seems very chill. So I'm definitely going
to. You know what I'd love to see, though? I'd love to see an R&B.
battle?
Can you imagine an R&B
Yo,
battle?
I always think about that, but I just don't know what the lyrics would be, bro.
Bro, call out John Legend right now. The colon to be one.
You won't, yeah. Yo, John Legend. No, I could never see that. I don't know how that would go down. Like, you really just have to rap. Like, you have to just rap.
So, wait, hold on. We talk about the Usual Suspects. You got anything unconventional you draw inspiration from?
Like, I love jazz. I love jazz music. I love like funk. What else?
Any artists like Nat King Cole's of the world? Or
like I couldn't name a million of them, but like there's this Spotify playlist that I put on, and it's just like.
Do you know the name of the playlist?
I think it's just like. I could look at it, but it's just like jazz. It's like literally jazz playlist, like one of those like Spotify made playlists. For jazz.
Because I always just tell my Alexa to play a jazz playlist when I'm cooking.
Yeah.
But she plays
some,
what is this?
Some
this
weird
is,
stuff.
This is, I'm going to fall
asleep. That's why you
got
to go to,
this.
You got to go to Spotify.
Yeah, I want like funk jazz. Like,
yeah. So,
like,
yeah, jazz is definitely a big one. And then there's just like one-off songs that I really like Tennessee Whiskey. I always come back to that song by Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
I love that song.
That boy's got soul, man.
Yeah,
His it's rendition insane. Of the national anthem, I think, is one of the best.
Oh my gosh, I remember that. Like, people were literally crying, like the football players.
Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, that was incredible.
So, what's your like? Where do you want to kind of go in the next like 10 years? You want to just keep riding this wave and see what happens?
I mean,
you obviously enjoyed the tour, right?
Yeah. So when I got into music, the number one thing I wanted to do was tour. Like, that's what I wanted, like, on a bigger scale, like, tour, because that's what I always loved. So the future, I would say, would be scaling everything, like, just literally scaling everything to be a lot bigger. The studio is, like, this push and pull. Like, I like, love it sometimes, but then I really don't sometimes, so... But then I realized when I'm on tour, I'm like, this is really fun. Like, despite how tired I was, because, I mean, fly here, sound check, get some food, try to take a nap.
You did 13 cities in how many days? In how many calendar
like
days?
It was like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. So you had like 8 days off, maybe.
One of the stretches was 4 days in a row. With different cities. So it was too much. Yeah. I think if we had more like time off, it would be incredible, but also, you know how much that costs, right? So, yeah. You know, that's more Airbnb time. That's more, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, in terms of music, performing and shows and live performances has always been like my number one thing. So I guess it would be scaling that to a bigger level with bigger shows and so that we could be like more profitable too, because depending on the room size, it's like hard to be profitable, right? Because you have your costs of like traveling and your whole team with you.
Is it still true that most of the profit you make on a tour, especially, you know, the smaller tours, is just through merchandising still?
Yes, 100%. 100%.
So you got to sell t-shirts.
Yeah, and we sold all of them, which is good. But like, it was like, it's hard. Yeah, bro. Like, just people are talking about, you know, just cost of living in, you know, Canada and just like in general. But like, think about like the business owners and their expenses as well. Like, doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they're making a crazy amount of money. Like, their overhead, like the amount of the cost for things is expensive for them as well, right? So it's like, that's kind of what's been happening with like touring. It's just so expensive, bro. Like, food, and we're all in USD the whole time, so it's nuts.
But hopefully you're selling tickets in USD, offsetting a little bit. But I feel you. Do you drink gin?
I drink gin.
All right, this is my gin.
Let's go.
This is
getting faded.
It's an Indian dry gin. So it's an Indian dry gin. So it's it's got botanicals from India. My fiance is Indian.
Okay.
So
shout out your fiance.
Yeah. So. You gotta write me a song for her or something. Because I am not a singer, though everybody's like thinks I am because I sang One Jump and Whole New World. But
you crushed it.
Yeah, you could probably sing.
A mission, man.
You could probably sing. I always tell people you could sing, man. Like, you have to. It's kind of like a muscle. It's like a muscle.
That's what my vocal coach told me. She was like, everyone can sing. Everyone can sing.
Thank you. It's true. It's actually true.
Everybody can cook, eh?
But listen, I agree. It's true, but it's just how much effort does it take you, right? Like, you were talking about, like, you literally just started singing in your room one day, and your brother was like,
hey.
Damn, that's good. That wasn't the case for me. Like, we gotta work to make
this
good.
You gotta work through it,
I remember elementary school, man. You and I tried to sing. We were in the choir together.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we were in the choir, man. We're probably
guys go back to elementary school, eh? That's so sick.
Oh, yeah.
Way back.
What school did you guys go to?
St. Patrick's.
Okay.
And I feel like you'll make us feel old, but how old are you, John?
Oh, shit. 26.
26. Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. 32. You 32?
Yeah, 32.
Yeah, okay, so we're 32. Not bad.
That's not bad at all.
But you are full-blown Gen Z.
What's crazy is
Gen
like...
Z, is that what they call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you're right. But I'm right there. Like, I'm the first... like, 1997 is like the cutoff from Gen Z to millennial. So, like, I relate with you guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty much on that side, too.
Yeah.
You're both, man.
I'm both. I don't care. I'm both. I'm both, man.
You're on the cusp. Yeah, for sure. Well, cheers, man. Cheers, John.
Yes.
Cheers to John, man.
You're not going to hurt my feelings. Tell me what you think.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to rip it apart, bro.
Just if you do sing it.
Okay? Yeah, sing your criticism.
It will sound sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, no, that's actually really good.
Thank you.
What is that?
So ingredients are in the back here, so you can see exactly like what's in it and why it tastes that way. We put a lot of effort in. A lot of people say gin tastes like Pine Sol, and so we wanted to make sure we didn't do that.
It has more flavor than the like usual gin.
Yeah, yeah. There's dry mango skin in it.
Yo, that's the sweet I'm tasting.
Yeah, a little bit.
Don't zoom
in. A shit ton of saffron in it. There's turmeric, yeah, ginger, curry leaf, Egyptian coriander. So, you know, we went through 50 distillations.
No,
so
this is really good. This is probably like the best gin I've ever tasted. I'm not going to lie.
Sing it, baby. Like, sing it.
I'm not trying to like just be for real. Because most gin, it doesn't really have like most people, if you say like, let's take a shot of gin, like they're losing their mind.
Of course.
They're like, it's like tequila or shut up, right?
Yeah.
Like, no one says, like, I would take it, like, we took a shot, and it actually tastes really good, so.
We wanted to create a gin that's neat, so thank you very much. I'm glad you like it, man.
This
thank
is different.
You.
Buy that.
Thank you. Look at that. Damn. You can pull out and endorse it. I love it. You can go to dharmagin.com.
Hey!
I want to talk about something, man, in terms of you're like, just trying to balance, I guess, you know what I mean? Staying true to your craft. Because I noticed there's some people breaking the scene, and not throwing shade to any R&B artists, but some do some things more commercial, you know what I mean? Features on movies and things like that.
For sure.
What are you doing to stay, I guess, true to your craft? Are there things that are like non-negotiable when you create music?
Yeah, I just don't like being corny. That's my problem. Like, I don't like to be... Because my music definitely has pop in it, right? Like, not saying that pop is corny, but like, I'm going to get in trouble.
it's a safe space, man.
But I just feel like I just try not to be like corny. I grew up on like hip hop and like rap. Like I grew up on that, and then I grew up on R&B, but it was never corny. It was cool. It was like the Chris Browns and Ushers. Like they were always cool to the public eye, right? So that's just kind of what I'm naturally into. But I also do understand that like pop is massive. And if you put a little bit of that into your music, it's going to be even more like global.
So can you break it down for someone who, like I said, I'm just an Egyptian immigrant kid. Pop, are you talking like Taylor Swift is pop? She's more pop than like R&B,
pop,
obviously,
yeah.
Like a Drake or a Jay-Z.
For
so I understand that. So when you're talking about pop, you're referring to kind of more mainstream
radio, like.
Right.
By the book kind of lyrics, like not hurting anybody's feelings. Like,
what's Bruno Mars?
Pop.
That's
but
pop.
It's pop, but it's very, like, it's, see, I'm going to get in trouble, bro.
No, do what you got to do, man.
But.
Man, that gym got me speaking,
yeah. What'd you do, man? What'd you do?
Bro, you
saw him take
still
off.
Got a bottle to go, man. You still got a whole bottle to go.
Yeah.
No, but Bruno Mars is more pop than R&B. So I get that. He sways more on that line, whereas Drake sways more on the line of R&B. Would Kendrick Lamar be more on the line of rap?
Yes.
Or,
for sure.
So there's all these lines that these guys are trying to kind of hover around.
For sure.
And Beyonce's trying to do country now. Right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, but my fiance explained it to me. Because again, I'm not big on, like, I love listening to music, but if you play a song, like, I probably won't be able to tell you who sings it. But what she said is Beyonce's doing a country now because country sells, because country's huge in America.
Mm-hmm.
Are these things you're thinking about? Or are you just trying to stay true to your sound, like Alex?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something I'm thinking about. I think. The reason why like that kind of stuff happens, not only could she just be like super interested in like country, right? But she's also Beyonce, and she can also do whatever she wants, like really and truly, and she's gonna do it well at a high level. But I think what's happening right now in music, I think a lot of the songs we're hearing and the music that's coming out, we've heard over and over and over and over again for the last
20 years, 15 years.
Yeah. And especially like hip hop, because hip hop was like, I don't know if it still is, but like was the number one like genre for a long time, and now the songs just sound the same. They all
and when you say hip hop, so I didn't even mention that. So is hip hop a combination of R&B and pop? I'm genuinely asking. Like, I don't know this shit.
It's kind of, I feel like people would say it's its own thing.
It's its own thing.
Yeah. But it's damn. Like, but there's in.
Yeah, our producer's laughing at me back
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
Dying.
And Randy's laughing at me. I don't even so know. Funny. I'm just like, yeah. No, but for real, like,
I think
I don't know.
The they all hop? Have they all have like a little bit of each other in them, if that right. makes sense. Like, in hip hop, you'll hear a little bit of rap. Like in rap, you'll hear a little bit of R&B. In hip hop, you'll hear a little bit of pop. Like, you know, like they cross together and. You know, like, pop is really just popular, like, literally just popular music, right?
Oh, is that where it comes from? Pop? Like
yeah,
popular?
I'm pretty sure it's just popular music.
I didn't
yeah.
even know that.
Wait, but,
like, switching gears here, your music and...
Hey, ignore the music illiterate guy
on.
Beside me. Huh?
Hold on, man. No, if...
No, that's what you're saying about me. He's like, ignore the illiterate music guy beside me. I'm going to ask you some real fucking questions.
No, but this is what your music, and I told Mina, man, when we brought you on, I was like, I'm a fan of you, you know, just your music... It kind of reminds me of The Weeknd's first album. It reminds me of Frank Ocean, Channel Orange. Mm. It reminds me of Division's first album.
Fire.
Like, cool.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Cool.
Yeah.
It's staying true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the kind of sound I hear from you. I don't know if that's kind of what you're going for, just staying, not cool, but that unique kind
of
sound.
Yeah. I mean, that's dope. I feel like that's, thank you, first of all. But I think I'm always just, like, creating what we like. You know what I mean? Like, I've never gone into the studio and be like, we need to make a record that sounds like this in particular. Like, maybe it's like we're truly just doing what we think is cool and sounds good in the studio. And I think the reason why we do that is because music lives longer than we do. So we don't want to ever be, like, embarrassed about something that we put out. And, like, of course that's going to happen. But, you know, like, we want to be proud of every single thing that we put out. So the best way to do that and not, like, adhere to all the other people and how they feel about the music is just do what, like, you know, what you think is, you know, best and what you like. So that's kind of our approach every time we're in the studio now. So
and are you, so I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're really involved in the producing of your music right now. Like, are you producing it with your music producers? Are you the music producer? Like,
yeah,
how are,
like,
you going about that?
I have people that I work with that, like, are producers. Of course, like, in the studio it's collaborative, right? So if a producer, you know, inputs like some drums that you don't really like, you're gonna say something, right?
Right.
But yeah, it's just like super collaborative. I kind of just help to say, oh no, I don't like that.
Right.
Let's try something else. Or I could hear certain things that I want, and I'll try to just, like, sing it to them, because, like, a lot of the people I work with, like, play piano.
That's your
so,
instrument. Yeah.
Yeah, so they could just, like, voice it through the piano. But, yeah, I have a lot of input, but I wouldn't say that I'm actually, like, the producer or I produce. I write lyrics. I sing melodies. I come up with melodies. And then I love ad-libs, so I try to, like...
Nice.
Make things cool with that.
Yeah. Right now, man.
Okay, well.
Don't put him on the spot.
I'm playing. What? So wait, can you walk us through that creative process? You gave us a little glimpse into that.
So
you're starting from, like, ground zero.
Yeah, okay, so we get in the studio to say hi to everyone. No, I'm joking. Okay, nah, we...
I get a coffee.
Yeah, I get a coffee. We just talk for a little bit. No, yeah, we get in the studio. Essentially what happens is, like, every single producer goes... So what are you feeling? And I'm like, man, I don't know, man. Or they go, what have you been listening to? Like, they say that every single time. But anyways, well, we start off by sometimes playing music just to get in the mood and, like, the vibe. And then if I have an idea of what I want to create, I'll just, like, let that be known. Typically, we'll be, like, upbeat, slow. Like, in between, like, what do you want? Like, what's the kind of feel? I always say upbeat lately because I want to, like, dance a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I think about being on stage and tour, and it's, like, I don't want to have, like, 17 slow songs. Like, I want to be on stage, like, turning up like I'm a rapper sometimes. Like, it was kind of a joke in San Francisco. There's a part where, like, trap drums just hit. And I'm, like, jumping around. And I'm, like, and then I was on the mic and I was, like, is this John Vinyl or Travis Scott? And I was, like, just jumping around, like, turning up. And, like, the crowd just started laughing. And it's, like, I like that energy, you know? Like, I like to be fun. So, in the studio, I try to emulate that as well, where it's just more upbeat music. So yeah,
are you still working with like different music producers and trying to find like your person? Is that something you do, or do you like working with a variety of different people and kind of switching it up all the time?
Yeah, I like working with a lot of different people, because different producers will give you different sounds, and you never know, that sound could be like the next thing for you that you know pops off. But I definitely do have my people, for sure. I have my people. One of them is John Fellner. He's really dope. I make a lot of music with him. And then there's a guy named Chris Young. Yeah, I have my people for sure, but I like to bounce around as well.
And do you think music right now, like I'll for acting, because that's what I know. You know, back in the day, like an Al Pacino, he would do very select number of projects, right? He wasn't going to go make like a ton of content. He was going to be very selective and make very few things. And now with actors, they're starting to think like, well, I just need to be in people's face all the time.
Yeah.
And I need to just make stuff all the time. And it doesn't matter if it's this or that. What's your approach on music? Is it just like, yo, just put out as much music as possible and kind of see what pops off?
That's a really good question.
Or are you being selective and being like you said, no, music lives on forever, so I'm not going to do a ton of shit. I'm just going to do what I really believe in.
That's a good question. It's a delicate dance, I'm not going to lie. Like, you have to feed your fans. Like, they'll say that a lot in the comments. Like, you're feeding us. Like, they say that that's a lot jokes to me. But you have to feed your fans, because think about, like, the Frank Oceans, right? It's like, you know, he puts out a song every, like, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, truthfully, like, we don't see the actual effect of that. But, you know, there's people who are truly like, man, like, I wish he would just drop a song. Like, I wish, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
stop being so precious about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Give us something.
But it depends on the person, right? But for me, that's a good question. I think I try to do a little bit of both. Like, right now, I'm in the creation process where I'm just, like, trying to create. But I know I got to put out some songs, because the competition is crazy, right? Like, these playlist spots on Spotify and Apple Music, like, they're worth something. You know what I mean? Like, there's only 50 spots or like 60 spots or like 100 spots. And it's like, there's a lot of people putting out music in a day, right? So it's like, every day that you don't put out a song, someone's taking your spot. Like, that's how I kind of see it. Right. Some people won't agree with that, because they're like, oh, it's about the art, it's about this, it's about that. But like, at the end of the day, that is the truth. I mean, it's like, a new song goes viral like almost every week. Like, it's
well,
insane.
And that's why I'm asking. The music landscape and the just entertainment landscape is not the way it used to be.
Mm-mm.
And to be honest, I thought you were a lot younger, because you give off like a younger energy.
Mm-hmm,
you got a great smile, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. I appreciate
so,
that.
But things have changed, and now it's not like it used to be. It's like you can't just be releasing like full albums and stuff. People are releasing tons of singles, tons of content. So that's why I was asking, because things have changed drastically. And I feel like now it's all about the hits. But at the same time, I feel like it's how long do the hits last?
Yeah.
Is it a hit for a week, or is it a hit for a month, or is it a hit for a summer, or is it a hit for a year? And the more music you release, kind of the more chances you have of like having a hit.
For real.
Almost.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, man, that's exactly it. It's like, the more you put out there, the more, it's like throwing something at a wall. It's like, what's going to stick?
Exactly.
Like, if you keep on throwing, like, you're going to get some out, and they're going to stick, you know? And it's like, also, I feel like, if some of the biggest artists in the world are doing that, then why aren't we? Because, like, Drake drops music.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, Drake drops music.
Feels like it's a new album.
Bro.
Every year, a new single.
This
every
guy
couple months.
Throws it at you. He's in your face, like, all day, right? And he's massive. And they're sticking, too. Like, and he, it's it's definitely a delicate dance because there's some things that people may not like, but there's a lot of things people do. So it's like, what are we going to do? Just talk about the things that he doesn't like? Or are we going to talk about that hit that he, like...
And you almost want to capitalize when you're hot, right? And I see that in my industry, too. It's harder for my industry because you can't just, like, we're going to drop a movie this week. Like, yeah, it just doesn't work that
way. It's a process.
Yeah, you just can't do that. But, like, right now you're hearing a lot of buzz about certain actors, and it's like, yeah, because she's in your face all the time, or he's in your face all the time.
Timothée Chalamet?
Yeah, dude, yeah, I mean, you said it, not me. But there's so many artists, right, like that, and they have maybe one hit, and it blows up. Mm-hmm. But they've got the next thing coming right after it. Yep. You know, it's like one after the other, and you've got to capitalize on that a little bit.
Yeah. You have to, or else you just kind of get, like, if I don't, for example, if I don't release a song for the next, like, year, like, people are going to be, like, my fans are going to be questioning, they're like, what's up? But they're also going to be listening to other music. So it's like, they care, of course, but they have other music to listen to, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's not that they're forgetting about you, but they, you got to just give them something.
Well,
you know?
you've also got your, so here's what I want to ask you, because I think if you ask me this question, I don't know how I would answer it. I'm actually just thinking about it now, because the gin is hitting. And it's
like, the gin's hitting.
But right. Like, so a lot of your songs have like 15 million hits on Spotify, right? But when you go on tour, you kind of get a better sense of who your core fanship is.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever talk about that as a team? Like, okay, how do you quantify success? Is it based on the number of those core fans that you know will actually drop money on tour and come see you?
Yeah.
Or is it just about getting hits on Spotify and being like, yo, we just need to get our monthly listener number up?
So that's a good question, because you can have, you could have a lot of monthly listeners. You could have a lot of streams. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have fans, right? Yeah. And what are fans? It's like people who are buying into every part of you as an artist. That means, you know, you dropped 15 songs, they fuck with 15 songs, right? You are going on tour, they're coming to buy merch and buy tickets to the, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, those are real fans. It's like they'll do more than just listen to the song because they buy into you as like a person and just your whole being as an artist, right? There's a lot of people who have more monthly listeners than me but have never been on their own headline tour.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like,
because they can't do it. They just can't sell it.
They can't do it. And maybe like they can, but like we don't know yet because they haven't tried. There's only like a select... I'm going to get in trouble on this podcast. There's only a select amount of people in Toronto, though, that, like, are on the come up that are, like, selling shows, like, really selling shows and have, like, a tour, you know? Because it's not, like, shade to anybody, but it just actually is that hard. Like, it's hard to sell tickets. Like, it's hard to get you, like, out of your rooms or your whatever you're doing that day and say, hey, like, come to my show and, like, spend some money. Like, leave your comfort. and come spend money at, like, my show for me. Like, that's a hard thing to do. Like, if everybody could do that, everybody would be rich. But
and you know. I still do think there's incredible value in word of mouth. As much as we are, like,
for sure,
online advertisements and things in your face on social media and on your phone, like, there is, like, especially with music artists, like, word of mouth. Like, someone going to your show and telling their friend, yo, you can listen to his music on Spotify, but that show was amazing. Like, it's because it's a feeling.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're listening to music, it's a feeling too. But when you're at a show, it's an energy.
Yeah.
That you only feel from seeing that person live.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not the biggest music buff, but I've been to shows and I'm like, wow, this is an energy. You don't get that from listening to it like on Spotify or on the radio or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the best show you've been to, like live show?
Well, I'll tell you. Like the feeling. Again, I don't go to a lot. I don't go.
Yo,
to a
you gotta step your music. Yo, you gotta start listening to your music.
I'm gonna text you, from now on.
Yeah, I gotta get you guys on.
I'll be like, yo, I need some advice.
Yeah.
And I live in Vegas, so there's no excuse.
I mean, you got residencies.
Yeah, bro. I still haven't seen Adele. I want to see Adele. I think that would be great. That'd be wild. That's my thing. The best, one of the greatest feelings I had, and of course that's like who you're going to the show with, and it was my two friends. It was Queen with Adam Lambert.
Okay. Wow.
Because I loved Queen, and I think Adam Lambert is an incredible vocalist. Like, I think he's actually underrated. I think with some different marketing and maybe some different moves in his career, he could have maybe, you know, been like just gotten to more people, reached out to more people.
For sure.
But that, going to that, like, I started crying at that concert.
Wow.
Because one of my best friends had passed away. And it just reminded me of him, and we just all got emotional. And it was like an emotional experience. But of course, I wasn't like listening to Queen in my bedroom crying. Like, no, that wasn't the same kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But there was just an energy there.
That's so dope. That's actually really dope.
So I would say that, but that was probably like 10 years ago or something.
Wow.
I've been to shows since, but, you know, not a lot.
Nothing hit like that.
Yeah. What about you?
Damn, that's tough. You know what's jokes? We'll probably delete this.
oh my gosh, don't preface it with that.
No, because I got fucking tickets that were online that were like fake.
We're getting faded.
You don't have to drink it. Just last one.
I got fake tickets.
And I thought they were real. Brent Fias. I got fake tickets for History.
I was about to say, History.
Yeah.
So, damn.
I know, I was pissed. But that was the last concert that I went out of pocket. I was like, yo, I want to go to this.
That's a crazy
show. So what happened? Like, you went up to the gate and they were like, these are fake?
They're like, yo, you got fake ones. Like, we don't send, like, PDFs with
damn. Where did you get it? How did you?
There was an Instagram sponsored ad for it. And they're like, we got last minute tickets left. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Damn, and what was this for?
Brent Fias,
and he's a great singer.
Like, really dope.
Yeah, he's super dope.
He's dope. Yeah, I went to that concert. I don't think...
Our editor's laughing his ass. Brent who?
Nah, he's pretty big. He's a big artist. Yeah. That
this is what I need, man. Cheers, all right. Cheers, guys.
It's hilarious. No, I love it. It's dope.
Yo, whatever, man. He came in. He didn't know who I was. He was like, "What movies?"
No,
he
that's
done?
True. Okay, that's so true. No, that's actually
it's
a true story.
All fair, you know.
That's true.
Not everybody's an expert in everything.
No, you said Aladdin. I was like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah,
that's fire.
I think Jubil didn't tell you all purpose.
I actually have to. Yeah, I know, right? That's so true. I gotta go do my research. I actually feel bad about that.
Don't feel bad. This is what I mean. We live in a world now where we expect everybody to be an expert in everything because it is at our fingertips. But I'm not going home and like Googling who Brent Fias is. Is that what it is? Like, I'm not I don't know. I just don't know. Like,
yeah.
You know?
But the last good concert though. Okay. It was actually just OVO Fest.
OVO Fest. Wow. OVO Fest.
How's that?
That was a while.
What's that
ago,
like? Is it like Coachella for Canada?
It's kind of like the Coachella of hip hop. Like hip-hop, Drake will always bring out.
He'll bring out a bunch.
He brought TLC. Like Lil Wayne came out. Like, I think Jamie Foxx came out. Not sure, but like. It's like, oh shit, like after like a surprise after another, and it's just like,
well, yeah, it's Drake. I'm sure he's dropping the
surprise. That OVO Fest is so dope, man.
Coachella was cool. I went to Coachella.
I've never been.
I went to Coachella, and I got VIP tickets, which doesn't mean shit.
Really?
No, man. It literally doesn't mean anything.
Why? It's you have to have an artist pass?
Artist pass, I think, is when you can be backstage, but I liked the experience of it, but I get anxiety when I'm around too many people, especially just this phase in my life. I just do. And that was the most people I've been around ever. And it was a cool experience, but I would never do it again. Coachella. Yeah. Burning Man, I hear, is cool.
I heard
it's
that's
a different
crazy.
Experience. But then I saw like Dave Chappelle on the back of a freaking like car trying to get out when they had the rainstorm in Burning Man last year.
Wow.
And they like shut like people were in the middle of the desert and there was a rainstorm and he like hopped on the back of a random, like, maybe it was Chris Rock, but someone hopped on the back of a random, like, sand dune
and
buggy
just got out of there.
Trying to get out. And I was like, that's even worse than Coachella. I ain't doing that shit. Yeah. So I don't know.
Man. I hear a lot of things about Burning Man, man. You have to definitely be into drugs too, though.
Yeah.
What about Coachella? Would that would be a vibe. Like, you want to perform at Coachella or no?
Yeah.
Things in the works?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely do Coachella for sure. I don't know. I feel like after going on tour with, like, people going to see you, and then there's, like, Coachella, which is, like, a massive crowd who are, like, majority are there for, like...
The headliner.
Big,
yeah.
The energy's different. Yeah.
I feel like you would do well there. And I'll tell you why. I think people there are open to music.
Mm-hmm.
And... they're listening to artists that they, like you said, they're not there for them.
For sure.
But I think you have the charm and the charisma to, like, you know, get in front of people that don't know you and be like, whoa, wait a second. Like, who's this guy?
Mm-hmm,
like, who the hell is this guy? So I feel like you would do well in some way.
Thank you. No, I think it would be fun. I'm just like, I feel like I'm spoiled in the sense that I went on tour and I had my own fans there, and they were just, like, incredible, and I got to, like, meet all of them at the end, and it was, like, just such a positive experience. It's like I'm singing a song, like, my biggest songs, and they're singing them back to me. It's like a different thing.
Yeah.
And then you go to, like, Coachella, and it's like I've had that experience so many times where it's like nobody knows who you are in the crowd, like, not one person. But I do think I could, knowing what I know now, like, I know there's certain things that I can do to, like, get them excited and whipped up.
I feel like you have phases of that.
He asked the question, but he didn't answer. What was the best concert you ever been to?
Oh, that's true. Man, I've been to a lot of concerts, bro. Yeah. Like, bro, best concert, though?
By best, maybe the most meaningful to you.
I went to the Yeezus tour, and the opener was Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, shit. Really?
So, like, and it was, like, back when... like Money Trees was the purpose. Like, he was performing that as an opener. I was like, what is going on? So Yeezus is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's Kanye West, right?
Yeah.
See, I got some.
Frank Sinatra,
I know some,
bro.
Man.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a crazy tour. I've been to Taylor Swift. Okay. Which I feel like a lot of people talk about now. I've been to Taylor Swift, like, a long time ago. That was crazy too. It's like a, how do you explain it?
Cult?
Yeah, like a cult. It was at Rogers Center, which was just, like, insane to look around. Like, you're just like, holy.
Our biggest stadium in Toronto.
So that's like 54,000 people. But her show is really cool because it's like a
production.
It's a production. It's a real production. I mean, like, you have people who are just, like, floating with just, like, it's just wild. There's just a lot going on. But that night I got to meet her, too.
Oh, damn.
Which is really cool. We, like, chilled and, like, kicked it for, like,
damn,
a while. Yeah, because, obviously, Sean, we're friends, so... he just went to the show, and I'm pretty sure he performed that night. But
so you're like tight with Sean.
Yeah.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
What?
He did a song for Mina's movie Butterfly Tale.
No way.
He was in my movie.
It was
an animation movie, so none of us were in it. Just our voices were in it. And I played the lead butterfly. I know, it just sounds ridiculous. But Sean did it too, okay? It wasn't just me. But Sean, Sean did a track, an original track for it. So that was cool. But I've never met him. But it seems like you guys are friends. Are you guys around the same age?
He's a year younger than me.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you saw him in high school. You didn't just go to the same high school.
Same,
you saw him there.
Yeah.
During the Vine days.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The Vine days.
Were you on Vine?
Was I on Vine? A little bit, yeah.
Nah, you're too cool.
Yeah.
Too
no. I was on it a little bit.
You on TikTok.
I didn't understand it as much, though. I didn't really get it. Like, I didn't understand. Like, I got it, but I didn't know what my place was in it, obviously, now looking at it, was just singing. But, like, he just blew up off of that. And when we were in high school, it was crazy. Like, he was like, yo, I'm gonna be on Ellen. Like, we're in the cafeteria, he's like, yo, I'm gonna be on Ellen. I'm like, you are? I'm like, that's fucking crazy, bro.
Yeah.
And then Next thing you know, he's on Ellen. So it's cool. He was actually, he's actually one of the craziest concerts. Like, you're looking at an athlete on stage, like just someone who's the hours they put in, their whole team, like Zubin, like, oh my gosh, like Dave, like all of them, Mike Sleeth on the drums, like it's crazy. They're unbelievable, like real like musicians, like that's a crazy show. Like you would be like, if you're not into his music, it doesn't even matter. Like you'll go to that show and be like, oh, I get it.
Right.
Like I get it, you know? So that's a crazy show.
And from a business perspective, like, did he do anything different to get to that level? Or do you think it's just like kind of the, what the universe is just like, it's ready for you. Like the universe is just ready for that.
It's got to be
the right place at the right time. And it's just, it's your time.
It's got to be a little bit of that. But also I think he, I think the Vine thing like was a massive thing in his career. I think, cause at that time Vine was like, there was a guy named Cameron Dallas. There was a guy named like, that's all I know. Anyways, there's a guy named Cameron Dallas who's like really massive.
It's okay, John. It's fine, man. It's fine.
It's totally okay that I don't know anybody else. But no, there was like a bunch of like teenagers who were just like massive to the public eye, like bigger, like huge. But it was so, he was so unique because he sang and like he played an instrument. So he was like massive because of that. And then he just says essentially just took it to the next level like over time and just like worked really hard, had some like really good people around him, and just like took it to the next level where he was just like selling out like 20,000 people in arena, or doing Rogers Center and selling out like 54,000 people. Is like,
and then he was crazy. Able to sustain it, which I feel like is a whole other
that's a whole different thing.
Being able to sustain it for that long,
extremely hard.
Man, I know we're coming up at time here, man, but this podcast, man, is all about celebrating diverse voices. You're looking at a younger version of yourself. What's some advice you'd give to a younger John Vinyl who's trying to break in?
Who's in Pickering? Who's in Pickering? Like, I stick out like a sore thumb.
He skateboards.
But he came from Jarvis Dundas.
Yeah, yeah. So he has like humble beginnings and shit. No, I think I always say this, but I think one of the biggest things is having a, and you guys could probably attest to this too, it's like having a good team around you is like super important in like entertainment and just like the music industry in particular, because I mean, there's just so much that happens, so much that goes on that needs to be managed properly. So I think having a good team around you, understanding that it's the music business, business for a reason. It's not just music. There's a business side to it. So understanding how to navigate that and to like learning how to grow each year. So yeah, having a good team around you, perfecting your craft, like being really good at what you do is like the number one thing in every aspect of everything in life. Like if you're just really good at something and you have a good team behind you, like you're going to do pretty well. I'd say, could be biased. I don't know, but, yeah.
And sticking to it, yeah.
Sticking to
it. Well, listen, man, it was a pleasure meeting you. I have a great feeling about the heights that you're gonna soar.
Yes.
I think you just got that charisma, that charm. Your voice is. You have a sick voice too. We didn't talk about that, but like you have a smooth kind of. Don't let me kind of just try to describe this shit. Like, you know me. I don't know shit.
Nah, you're doing good.
Like,
you're doing
like,
good.
You know it's this, like right? I was going to say velvety next. Yeah, yeah. And then I was
velvety,
like,
velvety. Okay. Velvety. No, that's actually good.
Man, I think you got it all. So wish you luck. And next time you got a show in Vegas or LA, or if I'm in Toronto, I'll definitely come check it out. I think Vegas. Yeah, I'm putting it out for you.
The invite's coming to you guys, man. Oh, next right, show, yeah. For sure. We gotta make it happen.
I'm gonna hold you.
You guys
it,
gotta.
Man.
You guys gotta see the show, because it's like, it's different from like most R&B shows where it's like a lot of people are just like singing their songs, but like we have like moments and things that we do. Like we hand out roses to some like other ladies.
Velvety.
Like,
I'm telling you.
We throw T-shirts. Yeah. Like it's fun. It's like a fun show. Like even if you don't know the music. So yeah, we gotta get you there next time. But I don't know if I'm gonna do that show. Again, I got to do it outside of the places that I've already been, because they would just be like,
have you done Vegas?
I haven't done Vegas.
You got to do Vegas. I'm there.
Got to do Vegas. So
I'm there. All right. John, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in and listening. Please subscribe, share, and join the journey of Growth Untold. Don't miss a single nugget. Hit that follow button now on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and Instagram.